is a person.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Food is good for you. It can also be bad for you. Food can make you healthy, and it can make you sick. Now, we all know that, though we rarely associate ongoing health problems with the food we eat. Vani Hari went for years feeling awful until one day she discovered the connection between what she was eating and how she was feeling. She started investigating and then blogging about what she discovered about what's in the food we eat. The blog became a website, foodbabe.com, and that site has gotten the attention of some big-name food companies who are now changing their ingredients because of her work. Vani Hari is a Charlotte native. She left her successful management consulting career to help others learn how to make the right food purchasing decisions, and she joins us for the hour. Morning, welcome.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
As so many other people who talk about food on this program, you have brought me a gift.
Yes, a beautiful green juice.
It is, and it's very cold. Is that because it sat outside all night?
It's because I walked here, yeah.
And we will open this. This is 100% raw, organic, unpasteurized, plant-based juices and milk.
Well, there's no milk in this one, but okay, yeah. Right.
But this has got, let me see here. Kale, spinach, parsley, ginger, cucumber, celery, lemon. All safe. Okay, we'll open that and have a little bit of that once it thaws out. So how badly were you feeling all your life as the result, now that you discover, as the result of the food you ate?
Well, my entire life I had always had stomach problems. And I remember growing up, and I went, you know, I grew up in Charlotte, so I went to Huntingtown Farms Elementary right off Park Road. And I remember my mom dragging me to school one day because I didn't want to go to school. Woke up with a stomach ache, and she made me go talk to the principal because she was tired of always like taking care of me and missing work. And so, you know, I had these experience as a child where, you know, I had eczema my whole life growing up, all over my joints of my body, in my elbows, in my behind my knees, on my face. And then asthma was a big issue in my family as well as allergies. And, you know, all of these things I was told by my doctors and by my family that this is just, you know, you were born with this, this is just something you're going to have to deal with. We're going to go the typical medical route, try to come up with ointments, asthma medications, and other things to help control these allergies, asthma, and eczema. And so my whole life, I've always been on prescription drugs, and up until the last 8 or 9 years. But, you know, when I graduated college, I received an amazing job working for one of the big six consulting firms, actually here in Charlotte. And one of the first assignments they put me on was to travel, Sunday through Thursday, or even Sunday through Friday, every single week to a big, large bank to do big mergers and acquisition work. And it was very exciting. I wanted to, you know, keep up with my coworkers that I just, you know, met and saw that they were working really hard. And the whole idea of this big consulting firm was to get promoted. You wanted to become partner one day. Mm-hmm. And being very ambitious my whole life, I wanted to do that too. So slowly but surely, I found myself on this expense account, this traveling budget, and was eating, you know, on the road, in airports, on the go, was eating everything that my boss would cater in. They cater in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, big spreads of bagels and cream cheese and, you know, muffins, these muffins that are like the size of your head.
Where do I sign up?
And lunch was like a big spread of barbecue. And then at dinner, you'd have a big spread of Italian food. And then you'd have a big dessert platter. And then if you had to work the night shift, because, you know, these mergers and acquisitions didn't happen during the day when the banks were open, they wanted you to work at night too. You know, the only things that were open were like Krispy Kreme. And you would eat that. And, you know,
where do I sign up?
Come on. Well, slowly within, I would say, 3 or 4 months, my body started dramatically changing. Mm. I started to feel really bad about myself. My eczema and my asthma got worse. I gained close to between 30 and 40 pounds. I don't remember exact number. And one day, you know, I'm sitting on my couch minding my own business, and I had the worst pain in my side. And I called my brother who lives in town, And I said, what do I do? And he's like, oh, okay, I'm calling mom and dad. They're going to take you to the emergency room. So they came to my apartment, took me to the emergency room, and the first doctor who saw me said there was nothing wrong. That to go home, take some Advil, rest, you're fine. You probably have some heartburn, some other issues. Your ovaries might be moving. I mean, they just were making up stuff at that point. And so if it wasn't for my parents' sixth sense to really say, I don't really understand like what this doctor's saying and why you're feeling this bad, let's go see someone else the next morning, I might not be here today. That next morning, my real doctor that I see all the time actually diagnosed me with appendicitis. And so I had an emergency appendectomy within an hour of seeing him. And so they took out my appendix, and what they found was it was very inflamed. And back then, and now even, they say appendicitis is this random occurrence that, you know, it could happen to anybody. It's an organ in your digestive system that you don't even need. You know, we've evolved to not need it anymore. And what I found out in that hospital room in December of 2002 was that, first of all, I'm in my early 20s. Why am I in a hospital room? Why am I getting my stomach cut open and an organ taken out? And what caused this inflammation? And I made this decision right then and there because I was so upset with my situation. You know, everyone's out at holiday parties. They're shopping at South Park Mall. You know, all I wanted to do, I remember, just like go to South Park and buy a present for someone. And I'm in a hospital room recovering. And I kind of said to myself, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to find out what happened to my body, why I gained this weight, why this inflammation occurred, and I'm going to investigate my body and my health. And I started to channel this energy of back when I was in high school. I went to South Mech High School, and I was a nationally ranked debater, sixth in the country. And every summer, my parents, I'd fight with my parents so that they could send me to Dartmouth Debate College to study the year's topic. And one year, the topic was healthcare. And back then, we didn't have the internet was invented, but it wasn't as easy as Googling things. So we actually had to delve deep into law journals and periodicals and really get our hands dirty in the library of how to find information on how to debate both sides of an argument. And I started to channel that research in me and that ability to investigate and that ability to find out the truth. And I did that with my own body right then and after, like right thereafter. And at that moment, it was that life-changing moment in that hospital room that I said health would become my number one priority, that what these doctors are telling me may not be true, because what I found out was that food can cause inflammation. And if food's going through your digestive system and it's inflaming your organs, that's what caused the situation. It wasn't some random occurrence that happened to me.
Now, let's stop. You're not a scientist. You're somebody who did some research. So how do you know you're right?
Well, I know I'm right because my health dramatically changed. Not only did I lose the weight and keep it off for over 10 years now, not dieting one bit, but I also completely reversed my asthma, my allergies, and my eczema to the point where I was on 8 or 9 prescription drugs in my early 20s, and I'm on 0 now.
So your parents, your family members, your co-family, your sibling, they didn't have these problems. They didn't have the asthma problem. They didn't have eczema. They didn't have other allergy or symptoms of feeling bad all the time like you did?
No, they did too.
They did too.
Yeah.
And you are of Indian heritage.
Yes.
From India, not American Indian. And as I read your story says that your parents, in an effort to make you fit in this country, fed you a steady diet of American food and not Indian food, which, by the way, is delicious. But you ate American food. And we have discovered over time that people in other countries who suddenly adopt our diet, particularly in Asian cultures, because evidently their food is particularly healthy, but they start eating our food and they suddenly start having problems that they never had before, like heart disease and diabetes and gain and weight gain. So you're saying there's something, this is the same thing that happened to you. Of course, when you went out on these consulting trips, I've been in those situations where they just lay out these tables of food, and you wonder how the tables stand up on their four legs because they're so laden with stuff. And night after night and day after day of that in these special events can be require self-control. Are you telling me you had no self-control? You had to eat all that stuff?
Well, I didn't know any better. You know, I didn't really know any better. I didn't know what chemicals were in the food. I didn't try to investigate what was in my food. I tried to, eat apples and lettuce, and I was always like a pretty healthy eater. I always liked vegetables. I liked fruits and plants. Mm-hmm. But when you're working those kind of crazy hours and you're right out of school,
you have no choice. And you want to keep up. And you want to fit in. You want to be on the partner track. You have to be like everybody else. But growing up, when your parents were feeding you and they were doing their best to feed you good things to make you grow up healthy, what were you eating?
So, my parents both came from India. My dad came here earlier than my mom to get to go to school and to get his master's and PhD. And as he was getting his graduate degrees, his parents had him come back to India and introduced him to my mom one weekend. My mom was just going away for a weekend. She didn't even think she was going to meet her husband. And they were arranged. And my mom actually never went back home. My dad whisked her away back to the United States saying, it was amazing. You have to come back here. This is going to be our honeymoon and we're going to live here. And being a new bride and, being in that type of culture, you did that. And so she got whisked away to America. And immediately it was really funny. She said that, my dad introduced her to the hamburger. She had never had beef in her life before that because you just don't eat beef in India.
Cows are sacred, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said to her, if we're going to fit in here, if we're going to make it in America, we need to eat like Americans. And so that's how he raised us, like me and my brother. And when my mom continued to make gorgeous amazing Indian food, things from her garden, the most amazing medicinal spices that are so amazing for anti-inflammatory, properties and other things, she would make that every single day for my dad. But for us, She would get the help of Betty Crocker and all of the General Mills and Kraft and all of these big companies that were making food that was American, that someone who doesn't know how to cook American could pick up at the grocery store, pop in the microwave or in the Fry Daddy or whatever and cook American. And not even that, when we didn't want to eat the Indian food, my dad would come back from the university. He's a teacher, and come back from the university and I'd call him and say, hey, can you pick me up Burger King or McDonald's? I had almost every single childhood birthday at a fast food restaurant. And, it was really about fitting in. The food didn't look, first of all, appetizing to someone because it wasn't to me because I didn't recognize it. It wasn't the stuff at school all the kids were eating, and it was that. It was that wanting to fit in again, and the same thing happened in the consulting environment, wanting to fit in. And I noticed that the best thing that I ever did for myself is become unconventional, break free, opt out of the system. And that's what created the Food Babe.
So you – and we'll get to the Food Babe in a second here. But you lost – you said you gained about 30 or 40 pounds when you were in the consulting business eating all that food. And then when you had your appendix out and you had this epiphany and you started doing research into what caused the inflammation for the appendicitis and also the other health problems that you've been experiencing almost your entire life, you lost the weight when you changed your diet. Doing – what did you change it to? How did you lose the weight? Did you go on a diet or simply change what you were eating?
I simply changed what I was eating, actually. So instead,
I have 20 seconds.
I went to a plant-based diet. I found out that plants, fruits, vegetables, whole grains have the most nutrients possible.
So you're a vegan?
No.
Vegetarian?
No.
Okay, well, we'll come back and talk about that with Vani Harry, who calls herself the Food Babe, and she is. Foodbabe.com is her website. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Founders Federal Credit Union, an innovative credit union with 24 offices across the Carolinas and over 90 ATMs in its network. Information available at foundersfcu.com. A lot of successful people in life have had mentors. I'd say that almost all successful people in life have had mentors, but there's a group of kids who really, really, really need them. And these mentors can really make a change and a difference in their life. And we're going to talk about the act of mentoring and meet some prominent Charlatans who were mentored and who now act as mentors for other young people Monday morning at 9 o'clock. By the way, you can find a recipe for the Food Babe's Hari Shake shake with leafy greens and fruit and more healthy recipes at our food blog, WFAEats.org, and we're coming back with more in just a moment.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup, a federal review board says the NSA data collection program is illegal. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew warns the U.S. will reach its borrowing limit by the end of February. And Virginia's Attorney General announces he'll fight the state's ban on gay marriage.
The News Roundup at 10 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Our guest today is Vani Hari. She is a native Charlottean who had food problems all of her life, felt bad, and came to a point in her life where she connected the problems with her health to the food she had been eating all of her life. Mostly American food. It's a terrible indictment. And she started, after she started doing research, you started a blog. Now, a lot of people start blogs, and I guess they start them in the hopes that somebody out there, somewhere on the internet, will read them. But there's no guarantee that they will. Why did you start? Just to get it off your chest, or because you hoped somebody or you knew somebody would find it and read it because you were giving people, you were telling people what you discovered about food?
Right. So, you know, during this time period, from the time period that I had appendicitis and I got really sick and had this awakening to the point where I started the blog, I continued work as a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to live this very unconventional way of eating, and I started to take control of my food. And one of the things that, you know, they don't teach youngsters when they get out of college is that they have control over everything you eat. Actually, the most important thing that you do every day is what you put in your mouth. You know, how you decide what you put in your mouth. And I started making those decisions for myself. And everyone around me, my coworkers, my friends, my family, saw this dramatic transformation.
I'll explain it. What did they see?
Well, they saw, first of all, that I slimmed down, that I became more energetic, that my face became more vibrant.
Meaning your skin?
Yeah, my skin, my hair, my beauty. I never, ever felt beautiful growing up because I had eczema all over my face.
Okay.
And if you see pictures of me growing up, I wasn't this vision of beauty. I just wasn't. And I never felt really great about myself. And this sudden sense of confidence started coming out in me because I started to feel really great. And everyone started seeing this. And to this day, I swear, one of my aunts thinks that I had work done because she can't believe what a dramatic transformation I made with my own body and with my own beauty. And, you know, this you know, lifestyle, the way I was living, bringing the green drinks to work, and you know, when we would decide to go out to eat, asking the server certain questions about the menu, everyone started paying attention around me, and they said to me, "Vani, you know, we really want to know your secrets. We want to know what you did. We want to know what you're doing. Will you start a blog and just tell us, give us your recipes? We just want to know what you know. We want your brain out on paper." And then there's the other part of me and the other part of the family and friends that didn't want to know. And any time that I would try to reach them, they would call me the food police. They'd be upset. They'd try to, like, steer me away from the kitchen so I wouldn't look in their pantry.
Well, that leads us to a question from Trish on Facebook, who says, do you have any insight on how to get your spouse involved in eating clean and healthy? There are people out there who don't want to know because they like what they're eating. If they're liking what they're eating, how do I put this? And they're not feeling bad, as you did, and they don't have outward signs of problems that are being solved by salves and prescription drugs. Why should they change?
Well, they should change because they either have the option to opt into a system of later on in life to pay medical bills, really high medical bills, and pharmaceutical drugs, or they can work on a preventative measure and start to really take care of themselves now. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, you can pay the farmer or you can pay the doctor. And you really have to make that decision. And it's a very adult decision to make. It's not, you know, a willy-nilly decision to make. And it's about becoming more mature in this life and in this world and really taking control of your health and being responsible. Because who ends up paying all these medical bills? It's us. Yeah. It's us as a society.
So given the fact that there were people in your life who wanted you to stay out of their kitchen and not look in their pantry and leave me alone, I'm not interested in what you have to say. And Trisha's problem here for getting her spouse involved in eating healthy, how do you do it? How do you convince somebody? Do you have a magic formula for that?
You know, I didn't. But the thing that did work, the biggest reaction that I got was when I did start the blog. And I remember I had a intervention of friends. I was never on Facebook before I started the blog or any social media because I was in the corporate world. You weren't supposed to be on Facebook. You didn't want your boss to find your party pictures and everything else in your personal life. And so I got on Facebook. I started this blog. And at first, the blog name was horrific. It was like, I wanted my husband, he's a tech geek in the family, and I wanted him to register eathealthylivelong.com. And he says, listen, no one's going to remember that. That's a horrible name. And he goes, let me see if I can come up with a better name. And a couple minutes later, he yells out from the other room, how about Food Babe? And he goes, it's available. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, that's just a little presumptuous, you know? And he says, no, that's an awesome name. You should do it. And so I called like my friends who wanted me to start the blog. What do you think about this name? They're like all on board. So I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know? And it was also signing each new blog post, Food Babe at the end, was a way to kind of hide my identity. For the first year and a half of the blog, I never even had my name on the blog or pictures on the header. So no one even knew really who the Food Babe was.
Yeah, you could have been 500 pounds.
Yeah, I could have been anybody. And so one of the biggest things that started happening what really will help Trish and other people is start sharing your life, sharing your food, sharing your information with other people. And that's how Food Babe started. Mm-hmm. It was me sharing it with my friends and family that wanted to know this information. And eventually, all of the friends and family who didn't want to know the information started listening.
So the blog became foodbabe.com. And I'm glad you told us how the name arose because I would have had to ask some embarrassing questions to get there, and I'm glad you took that off my shoulders. But you quit your job as a management consultant to get away from the food or to devote yourself full time to investigating and publishing the results of your investigation on your website?
Well, you know, Food Babe is only 2.5 years old, and I just quit 1 year ago.
Okay.
And one thing I realized within a year and a half of starting it that I found my calling, that I had a voice, and that I was put on this earth to do this job. I wasn't put on this earth to become a consultant and work in a bank or a cubicle or to help, you know, corporations make more money. I was put on this earth to help people. And the way I've seen that through all of the letters, the thousands and thousands of letters I get from people who have told me that I've transformed their lives, the information that they've read has transformed their lives, not to mention transformed major company decisions on how they're doing.
Why do you suppose that is? Because you're not the only person who has suggested that we change our diets. You're not the only person who has a blog or a website. You're not the only person, I don't think you've written a book yet, but there are lots of books out there who talk about something along these lines, maybe not exactly the same formula or findings that you've come up with, but people who say, we don't eat well in America. Mm-hmm. We don't eat the right foods, and the way we cook the foods that we eat is wrong, and the fact that we have a grocery store full of plenty of processed foods, which are not good for you. Why do you think people are listening to you, writing to you by the thousands, telling you that you've changed their lives in the face of all these other options that they have, telling them essentially the same thing?
I think they really appreciate my tenacity and my ability to dig deep and tell the truth. Before I came around, there really wasn't an avenue or a blogger that I could follow or anybody I could follow that would do a full investigation on Subway, for example, and tell people what's really in it, or even go as far as you know, getting Chipotle employees to show you backs of packages so that you would know what you were eating. You know, there wasn't anybody willing to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was, but I didn't know about them.
Now, you're not a scientist. I'm going to say this a couple of times in this program because people should know that you're not a scientist. You're just a person who had.
I'm a computer scientist, though.
Okay, but you're a person who had a food problem and you decided to do something about it and you took the bull by the horns and you did your own investigation. Now, have you spoken with in the course of these last? What, 8 years or 9 years of doing this, with scientists and doctors and nutritionists about what you have discovered?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what has been their reaction?
You know, it varies the gamut. It depends if I'm speaking to, you know, Dr. Mehmet Oz or someone at the Center of Science and Public Interest who's been, you know, a scientist over there who's studying, you know, caramel coloring and Coke and Pepsi, or the people at Consumers Union, the scientists that are studying these mm-hmm. different chemicals and how they're causing cancer, or it's my own everyday doctor, you know. And, you know, the reaction that I get, you know, is really interesting. You know, doctors in the United States aren't taught nutrition.
Right.
So if you go into the office with an ailment like anxiety, depression, eczema, asthma, allergies, the only thing they know how to do is prescribe a prescription drug. They do not know to tell you, hey, why don't you try eliminating dairy for a little while? Or why don't you look at artificial ingredients that are linked to these issues? Or why don't you try to, you know, start up green juicing because that can actually help, you know, your energy? Or if you're experiencing anxiety, how much coffee are you drinking? They don't ask these questions.
Because they don't know to ask those questions.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying. So, but when you've talked to nutritionists or food scientists, if there are such animals, or chemists, what has been their reaction? Has anybody disagreed with you?
Oh, there's a ton of people that disagree.
Okay.
And most of the people that disagree are in the pockets of the big food industry.
How do you know that?
Because they're food scientists that work at General Mills and Kellogg's and Kraft and all these big companies. And they're trying to engineer food to be more addictive and more profitable mm-hmm. for their companies.
And that is true. We've done many shows on that. And they're in the business to make money. They're not necessarily in the business to feed America well. They're in the business to not kill you because they want you to come back for more, but to make you want to come back mm-hmm. for more. So the long and short of it, I suppose, here is that there are things in our food that are not good for us necessarily. Are they in everything, or are they only in processed foods that come in a box or the frozen food section of the grocery store?
Well, there's a lot of different pitfalls. So it's not only the processed foods, but it's the food that's actually grown in this country too. If you look at the amount of genetically engineered crops in the United States, you know, this is a type of farming, type of seed that was developed in a laboratory where
– You're talking about GMOs?
Yeah, GMOs. You know, if listeners don't know what a GMO is, you know, this is a seed that's developed in a laboratory where DNA or a toxin or a different species of animal or some other thing is injected into a seed to make a brand new seed in a laboratory. And this is something that the U.S. Patent Office patents. So
Mostly for Monsanto.
And this is something that's been basically snuck into our food supply since 1996, right under our noses.
Yeah.
And a lot of science.
The fear about GMOs is that we're manipulating a crop to be something other than what it is, and there could be hidden health costs in that manipulation and hidden costs to nature that we don't understand yet.
That's right.
But the jury is still out on the health costs to humans, is it not?
I don't think so, because okay. If you look at the most prominent type of pesticide that's sprayed, Roundup, mm-hmm. and you look at these horrific events, like, for example, in Argentina, when the Argentinian farmers just came out in the USA Today a few months ago, where these Argentinian farmers started planting Monsanto crops and using the Roundup, and they weren't given the proper safety standards, and all of their families got completely disformed because these are toxic pesticides. These are poisons being sprayed on crops, and sometimes they spray Roundup after the crop is already grown, so you're eating straight up Roundup. And Roundup has been studied over and over and over again to cause cancer. And so if you look at the increase in herbicides, over 400 million pounds of herbicides have increased since the inception of GMOs. This is the fundamental issue. You know, the seed might not kill you, although, you know, it's killing the insect that eats it, and what it's doing to the insect is its stomach is exploding. So if the stomach is exploding of the insect, what is it doing to us?
Yeah. And that leads me back to something that I read that you said. You talk about what really bothers you is when you think back on all of the great traditional Indian foods that you could have had growing up because your parents are Indian and your mother knew how to cook Indian food. And in fact, as you said, cooked it for your father while she served you a fried chicken.
Yeah.
It bothers you because you say that American food causes disease and death. Is that fair? I mean, couldn't you have had American food made from fresh ingredients, very carefully selected ingredients, and been as healthy as you would have been eating Indian food? And if you're cooking Indian food in America using America's food supply, is that any better for you than American food?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. You know, the thing is you can make really awesome food if it's grown in your garden, if you buy organic that hasn't had, you know, toxic pesticides sprayed on it. The ability to take back your food and grow amazing food here and make that Indian food, you know, that there is the ability to do that. And American food, unfortunately, you know, if you look, you know, I think this really sums up what's going on.
Okay.
Is I did this investigation where I compared big major American brands, products that they sell here and they sell overseas. Everything from McDonald's French fries to Pringles to Betty Crocker to Kraft mac and cheese to Starburst to Ritz crackers. And when you compared the ingredient lists of the Ritz crackers here versus the Ritz crackers in England –
Mm-hmm. Or the macaroni and cheese that you mentioned, because there's a different dye
in
the macaroni that Kraft makes for European markets versus ours. Why is there a difference? You're saying that the American versions are not as healthy as the versions elsewhere. Why?
Because our American government allows the food companies here to use all of these additives.
But if they're already using these things, not using these additives in the foreign market, wouldn't it be cheaper for them just to not use them here?
No, because those are real ingredients. Paprika and beta carotene to dye Kraft mac and cheese in Europe is more expensive than to use a petroleum-based dye, yellow 5 and yellow number 6. So they're trying to make more money as best they can. So this is the biggest exploitation of Americans I've ever seen, is when you look at products, the exact same product that tastes the same, that's sold overseas versus over here, and the ingredient lists are completely different.
Have you tasted the different products?
Yes, I have.
And what's the difference?
Nothing. I mean, nothing. Even Dr. Oz.
What's the difference in the look of it?
The look of it's pretty much the same. Pretty much the same.
And the mouthfeel, because that's important.
Right. Well, you know, for example, the Pringles in Europe don't have MSG. So once you pop, you can't stop. Well, that's not going to happen in England.
In truth, you shouldn't be eating potato chips anyway. Let's take a break. When we come back, we have a lot of people who have comments who want to talk about this. I want to get them in here into this conversation. But I also want to talk about some of the things that you've specifically discovered about these foods that we eat and the companies that bring them to us. We're coming right back with Vani Harry, the food babe, in just a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Good Light LLC, a creative studio producing digital film, TV, HD video, and corporate photography, located in Charlotte and San Francisco. More info at thegoodlight.com. Well, it's the weekly news roundup at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show this morning. In 20 minutes, a panel of journalists joins Diane to go over the top national stories of the week. A Federal Review Board says the NSA data collection program is illegal. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew warns the U.S. will reach its borrowing limit by the end of February, and Virginia's Attorney General announces he will fight the state's ban on gay marriage. That's the National Hour first, the International Hour at 11 o'clock. Another reminder that the Food Babes Hari Shake recipe is on our blog, our food blog at WFAEats.org. You could check it out, and we'll come back with more in just a second. Stay with us.
Do children make their parents happy? Lots of studies say no.
They have a net effect of either zero or they slightly compromise their parents' happiness. What the data was really leaving out was, in my view, joy.
Writer Jennifer Senior's take on parental happiness, her book All Joy, No Fun, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR News source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Our guest today is Vani Hari. She is a native Charlottean, grew up here her entire life, had food allergy problems and all kinds of problems growing up, didn't know what they were, and found out later on that they were, in fact, connected to the food she ate. She completely changed her diet, feels 100,000% better. She calls herself the Food Babe. Use your imagination. No, don't do that. Go to her blog, her website, foodbabe.com, and see for yourself. But on that food website, she talks about the things that you need to know about what's in our food and perhaps ways around well. And I want to bring some people into this conversation very quickly because we have a lot of ground to cover in 20 minutes here. And I do want to talk about some of these companies and the products that they make. And these are American companies that position themselves in our minds and have done so for 40 and 50 years in some cases as being our friends. So I want to talk about some of them specifically, but let's bring some people into this conversation first. Julie in Charlotte, welcome. You're on WFAE. Hello, Julie. Oh, Julie, let me try this again. There we go. My mouse didn't work. Julie, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, I just want to say that I admire the Food Babe and that we actually have quite a bit in common. My parents immigrated to this country from the Middle East. Their marriage was arranged. My first job out of college was with the Big Six consulting firm. And comment that I had was that I long ago opted out as much as possible from the industrial food chain. And it's actually really easy. I get all of my meats, pork, chicken, eggs, and milk from local providers, and I really don't have to go out of my way to do it. And, you know, I think the health benefits, myself, my family, my two kids, we never get sick. I mean, very rarely. We see the doctor once a year. So I would really just strongly encourage anybody in Charlotte, the best place to start is go to the farmer's market, talk to the farmers, and they'll hook you up, man. It benefits the farmers as much as it does us.
Okay, Julie, thank you very much for your call. I wanted to bring this up anyway, the cost of all this and the trouble that you have to go through to do what you're doing, to live like you're living, to avoid the boxes of spaghetti and meat sauce and whatever the heck it is in the grocery store. How much more money does it cost? How much more time does it take?
You know, with a little planning, you know, if you were to spend a Sunday afternoon really planning out your meals for the week, it doesn't take that much extra time. It actually could save you time if you make all of your things one day and you freeze them or you prepare them in such a way that when you get home from work, you can get everything together really quick. So the time, I think, aspect, would be if you're in an environment where there's no place to eat out, that you don't have access to this food, that you're in a food desert, I could see the time being an issue. But the main concern here is that not everybody has access to organic food because organic food isn't subsidized by the government.
And what makes it so special in the first place, in your opinion?
Organic food?
Mm-hmm.
It's made without pesticides. Anything that's USDA certified cannot contain artificial ingredients, like artificial food dyes linked to hyperactivity in children and asthma and allergies. It cannot contain trans fats that are, you know, now linked to 20,000 cases of heart disease a year. It cannot contain genetically engineered ingredients, so the crops that haven't been tested long-term on humans. So for those reasons, it's really important that if you eat, try to eat as organically as possible.
So for those who can't because they don't have access to it or can't afford it because it is more expensive, what are your suggestions?
Eat a majority of an unprocessed plant-based diet.
Meaning what?
So add kale, collards, Swiss chard, spinach, all of these.
Even if they were grown with pesticides?
Even if they were grown with pesticides, because those type of plants actually can cleanse the blood. I mean, you know, beets are incredible blood cleansers that take free radicals out of your body. So if you're eating beets, maybe they were sprayed with pesticides and you wash them and you peel them and you do everything you can to safeguard yourself. But if you eat those, that type of plant nutrition can really provide a lot of benefit. So no matter what, you know, try to eat as unprocessed as possible.
Let me hear from Roger in Charlotte. Roger, you're on WFAE.
Yeah, Mike, I've started blending mine. I use a product called NutriBullet.
Roger, stop. What's it called?
Yeah, NutriBullet. It's advertised on TV.
All right.
It costs about $120 to buy it, about half that on the internet. But, for instance, I'll blend a gallon at a time of bok choy, celery, spinach, kale, about anything green leafy that you want to, carrots. In another gallon jug, I'll do blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, peaches, bananas, apples, nuts, plenty of nuts, cashews, unsalted cashews, and various nuts. And I'm drinking 3 to 4 gallons a week of this. And, man, I'll tell you, I'm 72 years old. I didn't think an old man like me could feel as good as I do, have the energy that I do.
Oh, that is music to my ears. You know, one of the things that, you know, is amazing is there is no way I would have ever started to my blog or been able to even start this research and work a full-time job if I didn't feel amazing. I mean, the fact that I feel a gajillion times better now, 10 years later in my life than 10 years ago, is a real testament to what food can do to your body.
Thanks for your call, Roger. Congratulations. Drink more of that stuff. Essentially, he's talking about what you gave me here. He's making it himself, but this is Luna's Living Kitchen. This is a commercially available product that's produced here locally, and this was a drink that is full of kale, spinach, parsley, ginger. That's what I'm tasting. Cucumber, celery, and lemon, and it comes in a bottle. And how much of this should you drink? The whole bottle? Just drink it down every day?
Yeah.
One a day at least. Because you say that, I have a question about this, because you talk about drinking things like this, and I'm trying to find it in my notes, but I can't find it right now. But I think it had to do with smoothies or blending your own stuff up and drinking it because it's very filling. Well, just because it's filling doesn't mean that you're getting the right nutrition. You could be filling your body with fluid and not getting the nutrition you need, correct?
I mean, you could if you were picking a product like Naked Juice or Odwalla or all these juices that have been heat pasteurized, totally killed, preserved with additives. The vitamins are synthetic. This is real, live, raw, organic juice. Okay. This is the nutrients straight from the plant, completely unadulterated.
And no sugar.
And no sugar.
Chris emails, I find it fascinating that Europe has much stricter laws regarding food additives, more fascinating that the giant food corporations make separate products for Europe and America. We are number one, though, right? And now we're on to GMOs. Yikes. Rebecca emails, has your guest read the book Grain Brain? If so, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Dr. Perlmutter. And, you know, the thing with these diets that are coming out, you know, talking about how wheat has been hybridized to have more gluten and how that can have an effect on the way your body functions. I think it all comes back down to the industrialization of food, because a lot of the bread that's produced here in America have been completely annihilated, if you will, with dough conditioners. Dough conditioners that are really controversial. For example, you know, Sara Lee, Nature's Own, Subway bread that you get at Subway that Jared eats to lose weight. All of these things have been fortified with a chemical called azodicarbonamide. This is something that has been banned in Europe, Australia. And if you get caught using it in Singapore, you get fined $450,000 and you get put in jail for 15 years. This specific additive is a respiratory ailment that basically causes asthma in the workers who are dealing with it and allergies and asthma in the people who are eating this ingredient. So all of these chemicals that are being added to our grain, I think, is really what we have to be concerned about. And when you're eating grain, I think it's really important not to eat it in every meal. It's not something that we need to be eating all day long, where you have a bagel for breakfast, you have a sandwich at lunch, and then you have a big roll at dinner. You know, this is something that if you eat sprouted whole wheat products that are made from the real wheat kernel, have not even been ground into flour, that can provide a really nutritious way to enjoy grain but not have to eliminate it.
Let's do a lightning round. Quick answers, quick questions, okay, if you can, about some of the companies that you have done investigations on. Let's start with Subway. You've mentioned them twice. Subway, eat fresh. Jared loses weight. Everybody thinks it's good for you. It's not?
No, it's not. And it's not eating fresh, because the majority of things that they have at Subway have been chemically produced. Several different dough conditioners. They're using caramel coloring, which the Consumers Union, Consumers Report just came out with, showing that a linkage to cancer. Their meats have nitrates in them. Even the jalapenos have artificial food dye in them. So even if you go for the vegetables, you have to be concerned. And that's a real issue. You should be able to go and get, you know, fresh food.
Are they any worse for you than the other substations? Well, the substation's another one. Are they any worse than anybody else's submarine sandwich fast food restaurants? There we go.
Well, once you get into like a chain market and they're trying to make economies of scale and they try to go for profit, you know, eventually the type of ingredients they use go downhill.
You've investigated food suppliers like Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Kraft Foods, even Trader Joe's. And when you say investigated, what do you mean?
Investigate means that I try to uncover the things that the average person doesn't know about these places. So, for example, Chipotle wouldn't release their ingredients online.
But they brag about having only the freshest, best ingredients.
Right. They do. And now they can do that because of my investigation. My investigation revealed what was really in their food that they wouldn't tell us when I called the headquarters. I actually got an employee at a Chipotle, local Chipotle here in Charlotte, to show me what was actually in it. And I found horrible things. Majority of their food was made with GMOs. And they had this fancy marketing food with integrity. And then I found out there was trans fat in their tortillas, the prized menu item, burritos. And so I wanted people to know this, and I held them accountable for that. And they actually reached out to me and started working with me. And I even offered to help them get the ingredients online. But about 6 or 7, 8 months later, they got the ingredients online, and they actually sent me the link first on my birthday of all days. And it said, ta-da. And they had not only released the ingredients, but they started taking out GMOs. And now they're going to be GMO free. That's their goal, is to be GMO free, which is amazing.
And they can use it as a marketing tool, can they not? Why wouldn't companies use that as a marketing tool? Since there is increasing concern over this, and they want to position, all of these companies want to position themselves as our best friend, and in theory they should be, why don't they clean up their acts and use it as a marketing tool?
Well, I really want to ask Kraft that question, because, you know, one of the things that has really upset me about Kraft is they were unwilling to work with me, even though I had 350,000 signatures on a petition. Even when I went to deliver petitions to their headquarters, the meeting was very hostile. It was not comforting. It wasn't warm. They weren't willing to change. And now they are making some changes, but the changes got announced because a reporter was snooping around, not because they wanted other people to know. I think they would have really goodwill with the people if they came out and said, you guys are right, these we want to make our products better. Maybe they don't admit to the fact that artificial food dyes are linked to hyperactivity in children, because that would put them at risk legally. But they need to come out and say, this is what America wants, what children deserve in this country with mac and cheese.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You also got Chick-fil-A to change some things.
I did. Well, Chick-fil-A is near and dear to my heart, because it was the one fast food that I continued to eat in my early 20s, thinking it was healthier than the rest. And when I found out...
It's fried chicken.
Well, you know, it is fried chicken, right? But I wasn't scared of the peanut oil so much, okay, and I didn't really understand what was in it until I saw the ingredient list. Okay. And when I saw the ingredient list, it was absolutely shocking. I mean, close to 100 ingredients, and one of the first ingredients was MSG, a chemical that's added to food to make it addictive. No wonder I remember what a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich tastes right now as I'm talking about it. My mouth is salivating because of that MSG.
So you got them to change some of that. I'm running out of time, and I want to get some of this stuff in. You have a thing about, you know, we all know that margarine is not as good for you as butter. And obviously butter has bad things in it, which can clog your arteries. But if you're going to use a butter product, use the butter, not the margarine. We all know that. But then you have a big thing on your website that says, beware of Monsanto butter. And then under that, you have Land O'Lakes, Altadena, margarines like Country Crock, Blue Bonnet, Smart Balance, and I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, which isn't butter, of course, among others. Is that because they're all using GMOs?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they're either feeding the cows that produce the dairy genetically engineered grains. And these aren't just corn and soy. These are things like cottonseed, things that aren't even food. They're not even grown to be food. So they're grown as a textile. So the amount of pesticides and the type of pesticides are completely different. And our animals in this country are eating these things. And when they eat these things, they get sick. And that's why they got to be pumped full of antibiotics. And then we're consuming that. And butter, it's 100% fat. So where does toxins accumulate in an animal? In the fat. So if you're going to eat butter, you better make sure it's organic and grass-fed.
Then you talk about things like Naked Juice, which people buy because they think they're buying something healthy and good for them. It's produced by the Pepsi-Cola company, and you say you were recently sued because they claimed their juices were 100% all-natural, but really have synthetic ingredients, the names of which I can't even pronounce. And that's one of the rules that one of our other guests said. If you look at the ingredients and you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. What's the average person to do, aside from checking out your website, foodbabe.com? How do you eat?
You know, the number one thing that I did that had a profound impact on me was when I changed where I shopped. I stopped shopping at the conventional grocery stores, started seeking out the natural grocery stores like Whole Foods, Earth Fare, Healthy Home Market, the Farmer's Market. And going to those places, you'll eliminate 50% of the chemicals that are allowed in food.
If you need to know more, and obviously we all do, you can start by checking out Vani Hari's website, foodbabe.com. Interesting hour. Hope we don't get sued. Thank you for being here.
Charlotte talks.